Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome back. This is episode 253 of the MTG Pro Tutor podcast. Sean Penrod here from Las Vegas, as I am attending a work conference and absolutely loving it. It's great to be out here. It's really fun. I love live events, whether that's for magic or business. It's just fun to get out and meet people face to face and just, you know, do that whole live thing. It fills me up. I think it's really fun. So anyways, back on magic, we have a fantastic guest lined up today. But before we do, I want to say thank you so much to Paragon City Games for your support of the show. If you are local to Utah at all, check out Paragon City Games. They have a great store, great events. And if you're not local, you're missing out. ParagonCityGames.com is where you can check out what they have going on. Other than that, I'm reaching out to the top eight players of each of the Grand Prix from last weekend. And there are no Grand Prix this weekend or next weekend, probably due to the North American holiday of Thanksgiving. So anyways, stay tuned. We do have some more Magic events coming up shortly. Till then, we'll keep on bringing you great guests from Pro Tours and Grand Prix. And I really look forward to doing these interviews and hearing about your stories. I love hearing when you go off to an event and you do well and you come back and thank the Facebook group for their help or the podcast for the great stories. And that's why I do it. I love hearing and seeing your success in Magic. That said, let's bring in our amazing guest and talk about magic. What's up, everybody? I'm super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest has just started making a name for himself by busting onto the magic scene when he made top eight at Pro Tour Ixalan. Coming to us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Samuel Eilenfeldt. Sam, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It's a nice chilly day here in Minneapolis.
Nice. Is that like the norm out there, chilly all the time?
Not during the summers. During the summers, it's hot and humid. During the winters, it's cold and dry.
Oh, man. It's pretty. I'm here in Utah, and it is cold and dry here as well. And it's that dry part that really kicks me. Wow. So bad. Anyways, Sam, are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Yeah, absolutely. Hit me.
Excellent. Now, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Sam, you can do so on Twitter. He's at Eilenfeldt, but you'll also find him on Facebook. Might be a little easier to reach out to him there. We're going to slide him into the Facebook group that we have for the podcast, and you can do a post, tag him, say thanks for being on the show, ask him a question, but those are the two ways that you can get a hold of him. So, Sam, when it comes to life, maybe outside of magic, what do you have going on? Are you working? Are you a student? Is magic full-time? Tell us a little bit about that area of your life.
Right now, I'm a full-time graduate student, but I also work full-time and then also have a girlfriend. And so I've got a lot going on.
That is a lot of full-time commitments.
Yes, I do. I love it. I like being busy. And magic is this perfect thing that sort of fits in any time of the day. It's always on my mind some way or another. So it's a very, it's a perfect, it just sort of goes, fits in all the cracks.
Nice. So what are you studying in grad school?
I'm in a program called Quantitative Methods in Education. We look at, it's a quantitative approach, almost a statistics-based approach to education. So how do students learn? Looking at the numbers versus just what seems and feels right.
Cool. And what was your undergrad in?
I studied statistics at Carleton College. I'm at the University of Minnesota now. I didn't mention that.
Oh, cool. But. And what is the plan with that education? Is it you're going into that field, or is this something interesting that you're just studying, or what are your thoughts on that?
I've worked in schools for a couple years now after undergrad, and I'm interested in working for like a school district, like the city of the Minneapolis Public Schools or the St. Paul Public Schools, for instance. And doing research for them and working in the department.
Awesome. And is that what you're doing now? You said that you have a full-time job as well?
No, actually, right now, my full-time, I work full-time. I have a 20-hour a week research assistantship, and then I also work about 20 hours a week as a desk aide. Basically, I sit at a desk for 20 hours and say, welcome to the building, glad to have you here, which is also through the Minneapolis Public Schools, but it's, okay. It lets me do homework and get paid for it. So
yeah, not a bad deal. Sweet, man. Well, that is pretty cool. So you have grad school going on. Tell us a little bit about what you're studying and why and your work and everything. And then you mentioned a girlfriend as well. So was she pre-magic, post-magic? Like, how do you balance all of this and a relationship?
I mean, I've been playing Magic forever. So there's very little in my life that is pre-Magic.
Pre-Magic.
She doesn't play Magic, but she has, I don't know, I consider her some, I'm not very superstitious, but she definitely is a lucky charm in some way or another, because all of my tournament success has come about since I've been dating her.
Well, how about that?
In fact, I won the PPTQ, so the preliminary tournament, the day after our first date.
Not bad. So good stuff, man. That's exciting to hear. Now, you just mentioned that you've been playing Magic forever, and that's what we want to dive into next. We would love to hear your origin story. Every hero has one, and we want to hear that first time that you saw or played with Magic cards. So take us there. Tell us that story. We want to be there with you.
The first time I played with Magic was when I was either it's fourth or fifth grade. It was a while ago. So I'm 25 now, probably when I was 8 or 9 years old. 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that area. And my cousin David, who was my best friend at the time, was like, my older brother got me into this thing called Magic. We should try playing it, Sam. And we tried it. And it just like, it captured us. And the first Magic, I remember the first rare that I opened from a booster pack. It was a Silvos Rogue Elemental, and it was a foil. And at the time, you didn't get two rares in a pack. It was you got your foil. It replaced the rarity. So I thought that every pack I was going to open was going to have this super powerful rare card that was shiny in the back of it. And I was a little disappointed when I found out it didn't. But it had me. It captured me.
Wow.
My deck that I had was the Thorn Elemental pre-con deck that they had around the time. It came with the 7th edition. Set. I don't know. It was very, very fun deck. Very iconic art on the cover of it. And ever since then, it's been sort of something that I did casually. And within the last couple of years, I actually started getting into more competitive Magic.
Love it. So what was that first set? Was it 7th edition or
the
first set that you remember?
I believe it was 7th edition. 7th edition or Onslaught. One of those two. It was right around then that I started playing, because it went 7th edition Onslaught. So it was right in that area. I don't remember if 7th edition had already was out for a while when I started, but those are my first two sets, 7th edition and Onslaught.
Oh, that is so fun. And what's been your favorite set?
My favorite set? First and foremost, I'm a limited player. So my favorite sets have all been sets that I can play with in limited. So Innistrad and Khans of Tarkir are probably my two favorite sets. Both had really, really fun, robust draft formats that people still felt like they could discover nuances in even well into the format.
Good stuff. And along the same lines, what is one of your favorite cards?
One of my favorite cards, I'll be honest, the only card that's been on my mind a lot is Pirate's Cutlass.
All right.
One of my favorite cards. It is just a fun, the flavor is fun. It makes for good limited. I don't know. I don't like the limited in this set too much, but I do like Pirate's Cutlass.
So that's great that you're picking a newer card, because not everybody does. But just in case, for those of us who don't know, what is Pirate's Cutlass? What does it do, and why do you like it?
So Pirate's Cutlass is a 3-mana equipment card. It's an artifact. When it enters the battlefield, it automatically attaches to a pirate that you control. It has equip cost 2 if you want to move it to a different creature, and it gives your creature +2/+1. This is a powerful effect, especially if you can play a pirate on turn 2. On turn 3, you play your Cutlass and start bashing in.
Good stuff. Yeah. Yeah. When I saw that card, I was like, oh, that's pretty fun, you know, because one of the biggest things with equipment is you have to play it and then equip it. And so they're kind of getting around that by saying, hey, if you have the pirates, then you get that equipped for free, which is, you know, always makes the equipment, you know, just a little bit better, enough to test around with and play at least. So that's pretty fun.
I'm not kidding. Honestly, I still think that card might see constructed play. It's that the effect of just attaching automatically to a pirate. And having such powerful 2-mana pirates, like Kari Zev is a pirate, or Tidesail Freebooter is a pirate, just making those things bigger is really cool.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. Sweet. So learned a little bit about your origin. That's really neat. And we want to dive into now kind of your story and your ups and downs along the way, specifically when you started taking magic more seriously. Like you said, what was an early challenge that you faced that you struggled with, but that you eventually overcame?
I used to be terrified of big tournaments. That fear has gone down. There are still things that scare me, but I remember one of my first big tournaments that I went to was back when I was in college. I had sort of dipped my toe into the competitive scene. And my friends who were more competitive than I was said, Sam, we're going to go to this PTQ, which back in the day, they had, instead of having the whole pre and then regional tournament, they just had one big tournament where people from all over came and the first place finisher went to the pro tour. And I went to one of these and every match I lost. And I think the biggest reason was because I was so nervous to be around so many people in the same room. I was kind of claustrophobic, and it took a while. It took going to quite a few tournaments before that feeling of discomfort went away.
And it was just a matter of just keep on going?
Keep on going. Yeah, just keep doing it.
Well, now, what got you going the second time? Like, why'd you do that? So you're here playing Magic, but it's uncomfortable, and you're losing all the time, so... why on earth did you go, I'm going to go do that again?
I think because everyone said to me, just keep going, it'll get better. And it was friends that I trusted who said that. And it was people on podcasts and professional players who said, just keep going, it gets better. And I felt it probably wouldn't get better, but I was wrong. It did get better. It was kind of intimidating at first, but now being in a room with so many Magic players, you start to get to know each other too. There are people who I see it really only at Magic tournaments, but they're some of the nicest people I know, and I'm always excited to see them when I play.
That's awesome. That is really neat. Yeah, and so I love that you had that friend group, you know, that circle to support you and keep you, you know, buoy you up and keep you going. And I think that's an important aspect of, you know, Magic is to make those connections, make those friends with those people, you know, locally that you can travel to events with, that you trust, like you said, that you can talk about experiences, good and bad, about, you know, plays, good and bad. And then also, you know, this kind of stuff, like just that emotional aspect that we might be struggling with. And so that's really neat that you had that and that you listened to them and that you kept on going, because we wouldn't have you here today on the show if it weren't for you, you know, overcoming that and attending big events. So that's pretty cool.
I actually have one more fun anecdote from my first big tournament, if you don't mind me sharing.
Please. That. Yeah, we love these stories.
So at my first tournament, it was 2012, probably 2013 in that area. They did seeding alphabetically, and my last name starts with an I, and the person next to me sitting actually right across the table from me, his last name started with an H. His name was Matthias Hunt, who you might know cause he does coverage. But at this point in time, he had also just been named Rookie of the Year. And so everyone around me knew Matthias. They were like, that's Matthias Hunt. And I, not really knowing the competitive scene, didn't really know who he was. But I was nervous. And he was like, and during the deck building process, I was chatting a little bit. And Matthias looked at me and said, you need to be silent during this process. And I thought to myself, this is scary. This is terrifying.
Oh my gosh.
This person telling me what I can't do, but realizing now that is, they do that for a reason. And actually Matthias is one of my closest Magic friends now.
Cool.
He was texting me throughout and I got to know him a lot better. He's a really great guy. And, it's just interesting that was something that was kind of intimidating at first, but I learned over time that there was a reason, one, for that, and two, that the people doing that are nice people. They just want that, like, they want a good Magic experience.
Experience, yeah. Oh, I can definitely see that. You know, your first event and someone's like, dude, be quiet. And you're like, oh, I thought we were just playing for fun. Yeah, I can totally see that situation. But like you said, it's neat to understand and move past that and see that these people, like you said, they're good people. They're nice. They just want a good Magic experience. And there are, you know, there is a way about Magic tournaments and rules and stuff like that. And so the people who adhere to it, it's not because they're jerks. It's just because they want to have a positive experience for everybody. And then they can laugh and play afterwards and, you know, carry on with life. So that's pretty neat. I like that. So what would you say are some of your Magic milestones along the way? You know, when you started getting more active, looking back, what are some events that you go, hey, that was a big deal?
My first any sort of REL competition was a cold snap draft, which the worst format to start on. It's a terrible draft format, but that was the first time I ever drafted with anything on the line. It was just a store draft at my local game shop. So that's a big magic milestone. The first time I ever was interested in Standard, I didn't really play it, but was around Alara Block when Jund was a deck. So Bituminous Blast cascading into Bloodbraid Elf, cascading into Blightning was just this play in my mind. When I watched people do it, I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it made me interested in Constructed as a format slightly more. I haven't really been a big Constructed player, but I have followed it really since then.
Yeah.
And then the biggest Magic milestone, I think, was probably right after I graduated from college. I started watching a lot of people stream on Twitch. And it's weird to think of that as a milestone, but for me, I was less starstruck going to big tournaments, meeting the pros, than I was meeting the people that I watched streaming, because they were the people who really got me into competitive Magic, mm-hmm. seeing them play online, learning from them. So that I would consider that a milestone, was right after college starting to watch Twitch.
So first, I love your story about getting interested in Standard. I have a very similar story where, you know, I wasn't playing Standard or anything like that, and I was just kind of browsing around, seeing what's going on in Magic, whatever. And I came across the what was it? I forgot the proper name, but it was like the Jeskai deck that basically got your guys infinitely big, and then swung in with the God's willing or the God's blessing or whatever it was. Back when that was in Standard or whatever, and I just thought that was such a cool like trick. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, you know, just the Jeskai Ascendancy deck. So like, oh, you play all this stuff and you guys get really big and then you cast, God's Willing and give him protection from whatever color you need and you swing in. So I went out and like, I built that deck and that's what got me interested in Standard. And, you know, I was pretty solid on Standard for several years. And then, even though I'm not in it right now, I still follow it, you know, and it was all because of, you know, I just came across that deck that just looked really cool. And I wanted to give it a try, and that's what got me into Standard. So it's kind of similar to your story. Yeah. And I love hearing how people come into different formats, like you said, Limited and Standard and whatnot. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Nothing has quite gotten me into Modern yet, but I kind of have to get into Modern, I suppose. It's interesting to hear that was a deck you really liked. I love that deck too. Also one of my favorite decks from the past, near recent Standard past.
Yeah, sweet. The only thing that got me into Modern was friends dragging me, kicking and screaming, like, you know, giving me like, hey, let's play, and then like shove a deck into my hand, like make me sit down and play or whatever. I played Modern Elves. I did like Green Black Elves for the first time, and then my friend would always play Burn, and so he went through several iterations of that. And slowly, I played other decks, and I eventually built a Bogles deck just because it's very linear, very easy. I don't have to worry too much about it, but kind of outgrew that quickly because it's very linear and there's not a lot of like interaction. And I like having answers, and so then I was like, I'm going to build this Abzan, you know, company deck, and that's kind of what I'm working on now. So anyways, yeah, so Modern for me also took a little bit to warm up to, but it was friends that just kind of shoved me into it that got me at least playing it, so that's kind of fun. Now, you mentioned starting to watch streamers. I wanted to ask who. Like, you said that you were starstruck when you met some of these players at the tournaments and they got you into competitive Magic. That's really cool. Who were some of the ones that you enjoyed watching early on when you got into it?
Okay, there's like four streamers that I really, really, really liked. Diesel, so Jan, I don't know, his name is Jan, but his tag is Diesel, D-Z-Y-L.
Cool.
He did well with really non-intuitive decks in cubing. And so I would watch him cube or watch him play decks, and he would do super well, but with these like bizarre decks that made no sense. And for the same reason, I also really liked Greg Hatch. I don't remember. He doesn't stream much anymore, but you can go back and watch some of his older stuff. He, once again, is one of those players who makes these absolutely bizarre decks and then somehow does well with him because he's a good player, and that made that inspired me. Then another streamer is Ilion. He streams a lot. He plays a lot of limited. He plays some constructed. He hasn't been playing much Magic lately, but also another streamer that I like. And then lastly, Elantris,
yeah,
who is Athena, Frolic, Ifro's wife, but also was a streamer well before that and a very good Magic player in her own right. She's actually just streaming a Vampires, the Mono White Vampires deck last night. That deck looks so much fun.
Yeah, I've heard tale of that one. So, oh, that's so fun. It's neat to hear who who you kind of got your Magic chops from and came into the game or came into competitive with. That's really neat to see that. As you became more competitive and have continued on your journey, you've had ups and downs like everybody has. So, what was your worst Magic moment, and what did you learn from that experience?
The worst Magic moment, and actually I swore to quit for a few months, and I pretty much did, was the RPTQ, the Regional Pro Tour Qualifier for Pro Tour, I want to say Eldritch Moon. And that was the one that was in Sydney, Australia. This is not the RPTQ. The Pro Tour was in Sydney. The RPTQ was in a small shop with 60-something players in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I made it to the top eight, and I lost in the top eight, but there's more to it than that. I drafted poorly. I played a little poorly, and then in the game that mattered most, I ended up getting really, really flooded, which happens. It's a part of Magic, but at that time I was like, everything about today sucks. This is the worst experience I've ever had playing Magic. Why does it feel like in the moment that's most important, I'm going to lose to luck? And the lesson from that is get over myself, I guess. Like, luck is a part of the game, and sometimes you're going to lose to it. You're choosing to play a game, a competitive game that is reliant on luck. It'd be like if I went to a poker tournament and was upset that some number of my hands were not great hands, So that was I stopped playing for a couple months after that, though. It was really a lot of pressure having, they put the envelope on the table next to you, which basically says, here's your form with your free plane ticket to Sydney, Australia in it. And so I'm sitting there the whole time, like, I'm losing this.
Oh man.
And it was tough, but, since then, I've gotten better as a player, and I've gotten better at losing, because I realized that if I react that way every time I lose in a match that matters, Magic really sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's rough. So the day itself wasn't going optimally, but you made it to the top eight, and so then the worst part was just that internal dialogue, that mental, like how you were treating yourself mentally as you were losing and yeah, as a result of your loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not treating myself very well because of that.
So what do you do now? Like, have you learned from that and moved on? And what can you share with us so that we can, steel up our mental game?
I think they talked a little bit about this during coverage, but something that I've started doing recently, and it works really well for me, it might not work for everyone, is at the start of the match, as soon as I sit down, I say, I shake my opponent's hand, I say, I'm Sam, nice to meet you, they tell me who they are, and I sit down, I write their name, I write my name, I write 20, 20, and then I write, breathe. And I write, you got this, on the top of my life pad. So that I have this reminder at the start of the match that just being calm and not beating myself up while I play is important.
I love that. I've tried to adopt, I played when I got into Magic, years ago, and then dropped out like many people do and came back. I always remember like a few things. Like, I always knew the phases for some reason, just in my mind ingrained was untap, upkeep, draw, untap, upkeep, draw. I knew that, like, boom, like every single time. And so I've tried to introduce untap, upkeep, draw, what's my plan? You know, that kind of as a reminder to take slow down, look at my cards, think about what I'm going to do, what he's going to do, whatever. And so I like that you do that right up front with the life pad, you know, like you write his name, your name, or your opponent's name, your name, 2020, and then breathe, and then you got this. I love that. Just a little something there. So when you look down at your life pad throughout the game, whether you're taking life off you or your opponent, you can see that, hey, breathe. You got this, like a little, a little pep talk, a little reminder to take a break or to inhale and get some oxygen. I love that. I think that's a really good idea. It was kind of like infusing helpful habits with things that we already do in Magic, whether that's running through the game sequences or we all, you know, sit down and write down life totals. You can add a little step in there to kind of, trigger yourself to do an action like breathe or plan out your turn or something like that. So I think that's really cool. I think I'm going to incorporate that and see how that goes. I like having that visual reminder right there. Have you found it to be pretty helpful?
Yeah, it's helpful. There's just this weird response that people have when they get into like stressful situations where they don't breathe. And then it makes it harder to make decisions because by not breathing, you're denying your brain oxygen, which is exactly what it needs to make a choice.
Yeah.
So every breath is important.
I agree. Now, the flip side, obviously, are highs. So what has been your proudest Magic moment to date?
Proudest? I'll be honest, making top eight was great. But before the Pro Tour, my friend Greg actually qualified for Pro Tour Rivals of Ixalan, which is in Bilbao. And he was excited. It was his first Pro Tour. It is his first Pro Tour. He's really excited to go play in it. But he was going to be going by himself because no one else we knew was going to be going to this Pro Tour. And so for me, my proudest moment was, first of all, my proudest moment was finding out that two of my closest friends had qualified for Pro Tours. That was one of my proudest moments. But then also finding out that I also got to go to this Pro Tour Rivals of Ixalan with Greg. For me, I was really proud of that. I was really excited about that because it meant that I got to go see another part of the world with one of my closest friends.
That's really neat. So your friend made it. You're super happy for him. And then the cherry on top was that your accomplishments made it so that you get to go together. And that together is the proud part for you, that you get to experience this neat thing with a friend who I'm sure you've watched, you know, play and grow and grind and almost make it and not quite and then finally making it. And so being so excited for him and being able to share that with him, I could totally see that is what you're trying to highlight.
Yeah.
Man, that's incredible. Best of luck, obviously, to both you and Greg. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's several months out, right? Like February?
Yeah, February. Yeah. It's about months out. So February, it's the first weekend in February.
Because Rivals comes out. In January is when the set's released, right? Early?
Yep. It looks like they're going to be doing what they did before where it seems like the Pro Tour is not that long after the set release, where with the set it was 5 weeks after.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that. What did you think about that? So did you like that? What did you think beforehand? And then now that you've experienced it, what are your thoughts on it? I'm very curious as to those who were there, you know, because everyone speculated before, oh, what's it going to be like? So now that you've been to that Pro Tour, what are your thoughts on it being so far after the release for Pro Tour Ixalan?
We'll say I think it probably did help even the playing field a little bit because the system they had before really rewarded players who could take a week off of work and test every single day and who were full-time Magic players, because in that period before the Pro Tour, they could spend all of their time testing. All of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas for someone who has a full-time job or is a full-time student, they couldn't quite do that as much. It helped the meta sort of establish before people went to the Pro Tour. And I think that's great. I think it meant it helped pave the way for my achievements, but also a lot of other players. Like, for instance, John Rolfe is an excellent, excellent player who really mastered his deck. Just a lot of other awesome players in that top eight or in that tournament who we played with, who really benefited from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, Yeah, I agree. I think that's really neat. I just talked to someone else recently and they said, hey, if it would have happened, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after the release, there would have been token decks everywhere. You know, that was just what was in at the time. And now that the meta is more established, we have all the energy stuff and whatnot. And so, I guess regardless of when you have the Pro Tour, you're going to get whatever deck is in at the time. But, I do agree with you that having it so far out levels it a little bit more, because those who do have other commitments still have time to learn the format instead of, you know, those who just get to hole up in a house for a week and figure out the new stuff. So that's pretty neat. So I guess for the next one, it's modern. So it doesn't really matter how much, right, after the release of Ixalan, because if it was standard, it'd be a different story. But since it's a modern Pro Tour, I mean, there'll be some impact, but probably not a bunch, right?
I'm unconvinced. I really am excited and hope that there are some fun new toys. Mm. Or blue-green merfolk.
Okay.
Deck did very well at a recent modern tournament. I think it looks really fun. And I'm going to be in Spain, so honestly, I'm going to hope to win with a tier one deck, but also look for a deck that modern rewards playing a deck that fits your playstyle best. Okay. And I think that blue-green merfolk really fits my playstyle.
There you go. And like you said, getting new toys with merfolk now, and then there'll be some more, obviously, in Rivals, and so you'll have a couple of weeks to hash that out. So that'd be pretty fun. So let's focus in on your Pro Tour here at Pro Tour Ixalan. What was the most effective part of your preparation? So what did you do? How far out did you choose your deck? Walk us through that preparation process and then highlight what you feel helped you the most.
The experience that was best was having a group of people to do it with. I was actually very lucky. All of my homework assignments happened to be due the week before or the week after. So I was able to take a week off, which not a lot of people get to do.
Yeah.
I stayed and I tested with some very awesome players. And we tried pretty much every matchup that we thought we might want to play. So we were playing some Teemer. We were playing some four color energy. We played Mono Red. We played Mardu. Played tokens. We've tried all these different decks and we just played again and again. And eventually we decided that Mardu was the deck that, I decided Mardu was the deck that best fit my playstyle, while also being the deck that I thought was best suited in a meta for where I thought a lot of people would be trying to beat Teemer and Mono Red. And then also playing cards that were good against Teemer and Mono Red.
Awesome. So you settled on that, and the biggest help was actually having. So, were you part of like an official team, or are these just other qualified Pro Tour qualified people that you hooked up with?
I was part of a team. I represent Team Tower Games.
Excellent.
Awesome small game shop here in South Minneapolis, run by a really great guy. His store is really great. I recommend everyone check it out.
Awesome. So Team Tower Games was your team, and you guys got together and practiced for the Pro Tour and did all the matchups, and then you settled on Mardu?
Yes, that is correct.
Excellent. So then you show up there, and it panned out for you pretty well, making it all the way up to the top there. So tell us some of the highlights from your Pro Tour experience.
Highlights. Playing against really amazing players. Everyone I played against was a great opponent. It's crazy, but I played against one opponent twice. Because you can play against them in the draft portion, but also the constructed portion.
Oh, yeah.
So I played him once in draft and once in constructed. But everyone I played against was just amazing, friendly people who are all excited to play Magic at such a high level. Some people were understandably disappointed that they lost, and some people were really gracious in defeat. Mm-hmm. Most people were very gracious in defeat.
Wow, yeah. That's wow, cool. And how's Albuquerque?
Albuquerque, beautiful. Honestly,
cool.
Absolutely beautiful. The city is huge. It's just this sprawling expanse that is lined on one side by this beautiful mountain range. It has a name. Give me 1 second.
Here I am. I was like, Albuquerque, there's nothing in New Mexico, but it sounds like it's a really nice place.
Yeah, there's the Sandia Crest.
Hmm.
Is this beautiful, just mountain ridge that just goes all along around Albuquerque. And so, like, we get up to go to the tournament center right around, I mean, like, after sunrise, but still during the morning. And there would be fog lining the mountains.
That sounds cool.
Beautiful. And Albuquerque, fun fact, is known for their hot air balloons.
Oh.
So there would be hot air balloons dotted all along the skyline, like in front of this giant mountain ridge. It was beautiful.
Cool.
Absolutely beautiful.
Very cool. Is that the furthest you've traveled for magic?
Yeah. Well, I went to Phoenix the weekend before, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Phoenix and Albuquerque was the farthest I've been for a magic tournament.
Right, right.
Specifically for magic.
Right.
I studied abroad when I was in college and definitely played a fair bit of magic while I was in Spain.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, okay, cool. I was going to ask where that was. So you've been to Spain before and now you're going to be going again for PT Rivals of Ixalan, right?
Yes.
Nice. Same spot or different spot? Or?
I mean, Bilbao is a city. It's a nice but slightly smaller city in the north of Spain. I was living in Madrid. I have been to Bilbao. They have a really cool art museum. They have really good food. They have really good food.
Cool.
So I'm excited for that.
Very cool. Plus, because it's a paid for trip, that's nice.
Yep. That is nice. The flight is paid for.
Yeah, they're fair. That's cool. Good stuff, man. Wow, that's exciting. Very exciting. So back to the, I guess, technical stuff. As you have, you know, played Magic, obviously at different levels and made it to the Pro Tour and whatnot, what is the biggest mistake that you see players make?
Not breathing.
Oh.
I sort of went over this a little bit, but freezing when things get stressful. And I explained that a little bit too. You got to breathe. You need that oxygen.
So interesting. And then I like to ask, how do we, you know, overcome that mistake? And it sounds like for you, you do a written reminder, a visual cue to, hey, you know, get some oxygen in your body. Is there any other tips that you would give to people to remember to breathe and get oxygen flowing as they're playing?
It's the same as the other one. Just keep doing it. Just keep going and playing. And the fear and the stress goes away.
Love it. Absolutely love it. That's cool stuff. So what have you learned from Magic, Sam, that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life?
I'm sorry I'm so repetitive with my answers. I got to class, went back to class on Monday after the Pro Tour, and my heart was still racing. I didn't know, I was kind of felt lost because it was like, what am I doing right now? Where am I? What is my life right now? And I sat in the top of my notebook for my class, I wrote, breathe.
You
go. Got this.
Yeah. I think that's great. I love it when a theme forms. You say, oh, sorry for being repetitive, but don't worry about it. Like, there's a theme that's forming, and this is definitely what people, I hope, remember and take away. I think it's great. Like, I love asking this question because lots of people give different answers. They draw different things from magic that they apply, and yours is how to recenter, how to focus on what's going on right now, and give your body the essentials it needs, namely oxygen, to perform in whatever situation, whether it's a magic tournament, whether it's school, and just kind of keep yourself grounded. So you mentioned at the top of the show, I think just before we started recording, that you know this week has been, you know, just really kind of crazy and fun and whatnot. Like, what has it been like? What has it felt like this week after doing so well at Pro Tour?
It's like, it's hard to put it into words, but it's like this, every moment feels a different type of excitement.
Huh.
It's like, wow, I get to go to Spain with Greg. Like, wow, like my parents shared this, my dad shared this really sweet post on Facebook, which it was like, my son wowed the magic community. And I don't know, it was definitely a bit hyperbolic, like very exaggerative, but he was like, knowing my parents were proud of me for my hobby, it was really really validating.
That's cool.
So just every moment, it was a different type of excitement. It was definitely hard to focus on school. My office mate, so as a PhD student, I actually share an office with several other PhD students. And one of my PhD student colleagues is also a magic player. And so just being able to geek out over mm-hmm. it with Monday.
With someone who knows.
Yeah, someone who recognized. Because trying to explain it to people who aren't in the Magic community is tough.
Yeah.
Because they understand that it's good, but they don't necessarily recognize what I mean by the Pro Tour or
right.
anything.
Right. Yeah. They'll understand that you won X dollars in a competition, but they don't necessarily understand the prestige and like what it means within the Magic community that you performed so well at a Pro Tour. Yeah.
Or like even how exciting it was that I got to play against, Mike Sigrist mm-hmm. and Reed Duke and Paul Rietzel and Guillaume Magignon and like all these just stellar players.
Yeah, great names. Yeah.
Yeah. That means so, I don't know. And also getting to know that they're nice people was really cool.
Yeah.
They're all so nice. Like Seth Manfield, he's very stern before a match. He doesn't like talking before matches. And I was kind of nervous and still a little chatty. But after the match, he wrote me a note on Twitter. It was like, sorry, I was so stern during the match. I know that I don't like chatting during Magic tournaments, but you were a great opponent and I hope I get a chat with you next time I see you. And I was like, this is so nice. The community is so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Several of those people you mentioned have been past guests of the show, Seth being one of them. Great guy. So I get the benefit of talking to people when they're not in in the high stress situation, focus, head down or whatever. My perspective on some of these pros is a little bit different. But yeah, just really nice guy. Just really, yeah, just down to earth. One of my favorite Magic players, Seth. And so it's neat to hear that you had similar experiences kind of seeing these people in their competitive state, but also they still convey that they are, just nice people and they're happy to be there and just excited to play Magic with whoever else qualifies for the Pro Tours. That's really fun that you had a good positive experience.
Quick aside, I want to just a quick defense for Mike Sigrist. Some people were saying he seemed really angry and salty after the match. He played really well. He was really cool, really nice guy. I'm pretty sure if there was any salt or frustration, he was frustrated at himself. But he was really sweet and he came up and like gave me a high five and a handshake 15 minutes later and apologized if he seemed salty. He was very, very nice. So just want everyone to know Mike Sigrist, very nice guy as well.
Very cool. And I think I have him lined up hopefully soon. I've been trying to connect with him for a while, but obviously busy. I'm like vaguely aware, not like super keyed in what happened. Cause I have seen a little here and there of like, and mostly all I've seen is people like basically coming to defend, Mike because he is a great guy. But I'm not exactly sure what happened and why he needs defending in the first place.
Okay. What ended up happening was the turn before his turn. At the end of turn, on my turn, I cast a spell which gave me energy, which was the Aethersphere Harvester, which I needed to reanimate my Scrounger and also get my Pia out of the bin so he couldn't reanimate Pia with Scarab God.
Okay.
He didn't respond to that, let me get my energy, and then suddenly could not reanimate my Pia anymore. But then on his turn, at the end of my turn, he reanimated a Long Tusk Cub, went to his turn, didn't reanimate anything on upkeep with the Scarab God, drew a Magma Spray, could have played the Vraska and the Magma Spray pre-combat, instead opted to just play Vraska, went to attacks, didn't swing with the Long Tusk Cub, so he swung with everything but Long Tusk Cub. I block with the few blockers that I had, putting me to one life.
Mm.
At any point during this, he could have Magma Sprayed a blocker, or he could have swung with the Long Tusk Cub, or in the turn before, he could have reanimated my Pia. And all three options would have had me dead.
Mm-hmm.
But he missed them, and the judge gave him a slow play warning, and it was his second one. And so he was kind of stressed out.
Mm.
If you get in the top eight, even if it's in the top eight, if you get three slow play warnings, it is considered a game loss.
Oh my goodness. I did not know that.
Yep. So he is stressed out. He thought his long tusk cub had summoning sickness.
He's
with everything but the long tusk cub and lined it up perfectly so I could have him dead on the swing back.
Got it. I do remember seeing the discussion about magma spray this and that and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Got it. And so like you said, understandably, being in the pro tour and everyone's there having a good time, but they also want to win. And so when you make a mistake like that, you can take it pretty hard. But then, like you said, we did not see after the fact where he came up to you and high five, handshake and was able to, to kind of move on from there. So that's cool. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that, that did happen. It's important to, again, to highlight all these players. I think they're great people. They're really nice. But again, you guys are at the pro tour, high stakes. Everyone wants to win. And so it can be pretty frustrating when something like that happens and you look back on it and you say, oh, like I made the mistake here, here, and here. And, as opposed to what you talked about earlier, where it's a variance thing. It's very easy to offload on variance, but when it's very obvious that it was not variance, then it can be tough to deal with. But, it sounds like he, after the fact, handled it very well and good on him and good on you for making it through. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. So as a Magic player, what are some of your shortcomings that you are working on, Sam?
Same thing as everyone else in that, like, if I make a mistake and I know it was my fault, I'm pretty hard on myself. It can be hard if I lose a win in to my own misplays to know that it was my own fault. It can be really disheartening, which I don't know if you watched coverage at all. I was very aware whenever I made misplays and would very often say, oh, shoot, that was a misplay. Mm. Using slightly more offensive language than that.
I appreciate you reining it in. Okay, very cool. And holy smokes, I just noticed the clock here, so we'll wrap things up here. But man, I love your stories. It's been amazing chatting with you, and I want to encourage the prodigies out there. You want to connect with Sam, you can find him on the socials. He's on Twitter at Islandfelt, but Facebook is probably a better place to connect with him. We're going to slide him into the group here, and if you want, you can do a post, tag him in it, say thanks for being on the show, and ask him a question. Obviously, Sam knows a lot about Magic, very knowledgeable, happy to share. So really excited to see where you go from here, Sam, and going off to another pro tour with your friend. Oh man, how many pro points do you have? I wanted to ask that real quick.
I have 22. I went from having no pro points to being a silver pro.
You get 22 just in the pro tour?
I got 22 for getting fourth place.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
The pro tour has a very good pro point payout.
Yeah, I would say so. Wow. Well, congrats, man. That's really cool. That's really cool. So that lines you up for the next several pro tours being silver, right? Or is it just the next one?
So the next one is an invite I got for getting better than X5.
Okay.
At the pro tour. And then the one after that, I might go to, or I might save my invite for Minneapolis. I don't know how that works with the team, how it works for the team invite thing. I know there's some weird rules about who I get to invite as a silver pro because it's a team pro tour.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to, if I do well in Bilbao, I would like to also play in Richmond. For pro tour Dominaria.
Oof, man. Well, good stuff. That's pretty. So 22, and I still have most of the season ahead of you. So, I mean, that's pretty neat. Are you going to make a run for gold?
That's depends on how I do in the next couple pro tours.
I mean, you get three just for showing up. So that's 25 just off of rivals so far. So that's good. Yeah. Good stuff, man. Super excited for you. This is going to be a lot of fun. So as we close things out, Sam, what is one final piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new you want to leave with us here at the end.
I don't know. The pro tour was really exciting and fun. anyone can do it. A couple people have reached out to me and asked me questions about decks, and I said, am I going to see you in any Grand Prix coming up? And they said, no, I don't go to Grand Prix. It's too much. It's like, it's too intimidating. Or I sometimes go to FNM, or I just play Magic online because the real life tournaments, just try the paper ones, try going and playing in person. You might not do super well at first, but getting that experience is the first step to doing well in Magic. And it's awesome to have more people at tournaments.
And Sam, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse. And thank you so much for your time and for sharing your stories and your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be meta screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Episode 253 is done. Sam, thank you so much for coming onto the show. Prodigies, you can find the show notes at mtgpro2.com/Samuel Eilenfeld. Samuel Eilenfeld is where you can find that. And I hope that you get out there and play some Magic this weekend. Friday Night Magic is, of course, tonight if you're listening to this live. And there's other Magic events all the time everywhere, whether that's just casual turning paper sideways or you go out to some event like a PPTQ. Good luck. I love hearing your stories. I love hearing how well you do, what decks you play. So come back and let me know in the Facebook group. I love hearing about your endeavors. As we close out, I want to say thank you again to Paragon City Games for supporting the show. And of course, I cannot go without thanking the patrons. mtgpro2.com/Patreons, where you can go learn more about that. Basically, if you love the show, if you're getting value at it, and you feel like I have earned your support, then you can support the show directly through Patreon. If not, then don't worry about it. The show will always be free, and I will step up my game to bring you the amazing value that you deserve as a Magic player. This week, we didn't have any new patrons sign up, but that's totally okay. I love you all. I really do appreciate the patrons who have signed up and support the show directly, and look forward to giving away a From the Vault Transform this month. That's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in today. Get out there and play some Magic. And until we connect again, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.